Please be seated. Welcome, Pastor Jim, to come up and proclaim God's truth.
Well, good morning to all of you. You know, this morning we're going to continue with the series that Pastor Larry introduced last week, having to deal with contemporary issues and how we navigate those issues in a world that is constantly changing around us. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how important this sort of concept is and how important some of these topics are that we're looking at, this idea that the world around us is constantly changing. It's changing faster than it ever has in the past. And how do we deal with that? What are our North Stars that we always point to and say, for those of you who understand that the North Star, you know, where sailors knew they could always look to and say, that's where we know where we were. That's how we know where we are. And we need those kind of North Stars. And as I was thinking about it, I thought of one of those North Stars out of the text. And I'm not going to put it on the screen this morning. Instead, I'm going to do this a little different way. I'm going to ask you, I know, and I've said this before, pastors should never say this, but I want you in a second to just close your eyes and listen to these words from Peter. Listen to them as though he's saying them to you, because in essence he is. Through 2,000 years, he's saying them to us. These are some that Larry had referenced last week, and they've just been in my head for days. From 1 Peter 1, okay, you ready? Listen to them. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't you just love those verses? I think they're so powerful for us. And especially that one verse, and it shows up over and over again in the Bible. Be holy because I am holy. Can we say that together? Be holy because I am holy. And that's the challenge that we're faced with whenever we start to talk about how we navigate our way through the world and the things of the world. And you notice something about it. It's not a suggestion. Oh, you should be holy. It's not a request. I would like you to be holy. It's a command. Be holy because I am holy. It's not a choice for us. This is what we're called to do. We have no choice. We either move towards holiness and thus to God, or we move away from holiness and weaken our relationship with God. Those are the only two choices. There's no in-between. There's no gray area there. That is true now and has always been true. In each time era, it is up to Christians to always look for ways with God's help to strive for something resembling holiness, to look for ways to deal with contemporary issues and situations which remain relevant in reaching out to their world. It's not enough to just search for it for yourself, but you've also got to use that in such a way that you can reach the world around you. We are not insular, where we come in together and we say, oh, I'm holy, the rest of you, well, I don't care that much. That doesn't work. We have to reach out to the world as well. Today we're going to look at one of the areas in which we need to be particularly wise, because it is actually a very significant way for the enemy to derail holiness in the world. The question is, how do our entertainment choices affect our desire to pursue holiness? Now, I know some of you are thinking, entertainment? Is that even so important that we should spend a week talking about it? Aren't there more important issues in this world? Yeah, there are some very important issues. But here's the thing that we have to remember. Entertainment reflects and, more importantly, helps to shape the culture of our times. You get that? Yes, it reflects it, but it also shapes the culture of our times. You know, we tend to think, when I say the word culture, we tend to think of it in ethnic terms, don't we? We think about centuries of traditions and language and literature and all those kinds of things. But there's a second layer of culture, a subculture, if you wish, that is reflective of contemporary thinking and is constantly shifting around us. Think about the changes in the values that we've seen even in the last few years. Those of you who are older can say, the world is so, I think that we would agree with me, that the world is so different over 20, 30, 40, 50 years today than it was, you know, from when we were young or whatever. We would just say it's just so totally different in so many ways. Think about the differences between generations. They used to say a generation was 40 years. Sometimes it, you know, was longer than that even, because sometimes generations were the same. Think of what we've seen in our time. The baby boomers, the Gen Xers, I forgot the baby busters in there too, didn't I? And a whole bunch of the millennials, and what are they calling them today? The post-millennials. Generations are changing more rapidly than at any time in history. And here's the key. One of the most important things that feeds this change is the message and worldview that is being presented to them, mostly through our forms of entertainment. So when we start to talk about entertainment, it's not just a matter of talking about the things that we love to, you know, waste time on. It's talking about a whole vision of the world that is being created and put out before people. Okay, before we go any further, though, I want to unpack this a little. Before I do unpack it, I'd like to take a look at what I would call a few controlling verses from the Bible. What do I mean by controlling? In these verses, we are given some of the underlying understandings as how to approach this topic. The first and probably the one we should hang on to the most is Philippians 8. Okay, and there it is in front of you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. That's where our thoughts should be. Sounds very much like Peter we read a few minutes ago, doesn't it? See, it's not. I mean, many of these writers have similar verses that come down to it. Now, I know there's a context that this one verse is taken out of that's larger, but there's also a truth in it that stands on its own as well. Think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, pure, lovely, admirable, all of those kinds of things. And that, in part, should help us to choose and understand the entertainment choices we make. The second one I'm going to look at is from James 1:27. And again, recognizing there's a context, there's also a single truth within this as well. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. And I love that line. Don't you love that? Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's such a powerful statement, isn't it? We are not to allow the world to tell us how to think. That pollutes us. Rather, we are to find understanding in God our Father. That purifies us. And that's the difference. One more, and I'll do this one quickly. The next one reminds us that there are consequences to our decisions. And it's from Matthew. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And where does he get some of that from? We'll talk about that in a few seconds. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, I look at that, and that should be a scary, scary verse for all of us in many ways, shouldn't it? Again, there's contextual issues, but that idea that there will be a day of judgment, and we will be held to account for our words and our thoughts and what we filled our minds with. Frankly, I find that idea a little embarrassing. Not embarrassing because of people, but embarrassing because I will stand before God and answer those questions. So before, you know, we, You see what I mean about those being the controlling kinds of verses to where we're going, if we're going to talk now about what happens. Okay, so let's move on. What exactly do we mean by entertainment? You know, I had fun with this one. I looked up all kinds of places to find a definition that worked for it that we could run with. And I didn't find one, to be honest with you. I found all kinds of synonyms, words that mean the same thing, right? It was listed as being amusement, pleasure, leisure, relaxation, you know, all kinds of these kinds of words. And eventually I just gave up and I said, okay, well, I'll put together my own definition. So here it is. This is the definition from the dictionary of Jim Bell, right? Okay. And if you don't find that on your library, complain, tell them you want it, okay? Generally, this is the definition. Generally, entertainment is any activity which captures our interest or imagination, or which brings enjoyment or escape, but is not required for living. Okay? That's what, you know, I sort of pulled from all of these places. So let me give you that one again. Generally, entertainment is any activity which captures our interest or imagination, or which brings enjoyment or escape, but is not required for living. What we do to live, we must do. What we do for entertainment is what we choose to do. That's the point. It may be said that entertainment is used to fill what we might call our discretionary time. Our discretionary time. And I know some of you with little children say, what discretionary time is that you're talking about? You know, because there are times in life when discretionary time is pretty rare, right? But we all have some. We all have some. And I hate to tell you this, but there is a time in the stage of life where some of us feel like we have too much time to fill, right? It gets that way, okay? So there's our definition that we're going to start from. The next thing that we need to say is that, and I recognize that when we talk about entertainment, most people think immediately about watching television or going to a concert, going to a sporting event, playing a game or some like activity, having a barbecue with bocce at, you know, at the park or something of that look. And yeah, that's entertainment. That's part of what entertainment looks like. However, entertainment is actually much bigger than that, and it's different for different people. I, for example, have been known to read a history book for entertainment. Now, there's one that most of you are going to say, really? Entertainment? You know? Yeah, entertainment. Or I play with my model trains, too. That's another thing I do, play with model trains. Yeah. For some people, entertainment can be wandering through God's beautiful creation. In fact, for so many people, that's entertainment, that our parks are now overflowing with visitors, right? Yeah. It can be spent time marveling at magnificent buildings and admiring architecture. Cities like Rome are overrun by tourists to the point that historic places are being damaged by the number of feet, and the governments are considering how to limit the numbers. People looking for entertainment. Looking for entertainment. Or maybe it's off viewing some wonderful piece of art. I happen to be a fan of Caravaggio, and you can see Caravaggio's Emmaus on the screen in front of you. But again, the great galleries are searching for ways to limit the people trooping through them. Recently, we have seen numerous pictures of the hordes of people trying to reach the top of Mount Everest. And you ask yourself, why would they endanger their lives and spend upwards of $65,000, because that's sort of the number that's quoted mostly, to accomplish this? Because it fills some inner need for adventure, or some escape, or some sense of betterment, or something that, you know, that is outside of the everyday work of life and, you know, and those types of things. Running, exercise, yoga. I love this. Yoga, it was supposed to be exercise, was my understanding of it. But even people become bored with just doing yoga and look for more better than that. Have you ever heard of goat yoga? Yeah, where people go and they do yoga among the goats, and the goats stand on them and stuff. Or I've heard about yoga on surfboards recently. And they go out in the water and they do yoga on surfboards. But the best one of all I heard just a couple of days ago was reindeer yoga. You get on a plane and you fly to Alaska and you get to do yoga in a field with reindeer. Is that cool? No, but let's not go. That's what people are like. They're searching for something, you know, other than that they can do that will bring something to their lives, give it some quality. You know, this is what they're really looking for, is something resembling quality. By the way, you know what the number one entertainment in Canada is? No one? Shopping. Shopping. Yeah, studies show that. Shopping. Going to the mall. Some of you are saying, how can that ever be entertainment? Especially when you keep it close, tight, you know, on your wallet. It's you know, in many ways, we've become an entertainment-crazed world. In fact, a while back, somebody wrote a book, Neil Postman, called Entertaining Ourselves to Death, in which he talks about just that thing. Part of the reason for that is that people, as the people of the world have become wealthier, and in some cases, as working hours have dropped, they've had the spare time and the money to pursue entertainment in a way that has never existed before. But having said that, we have to recognize that humanity has always sought entertainment. Art, music, theater, painting, architecture have existed since the world began. It's always been there. It's just we live in a world that has more opportunity for it. So is entertainment and the time spent on it a good thing or a bad thing? Is entertainment good or bad? In fact, in many ways, our desire for entertainment is the result of how God created us. Humanity is God's creation. We are created in the image of God. He made us creative. He made us inquisitive. He gave us an appreciation of beauty and a sense of wonder, all reflections. He gave us an interest in music and the other arts. That's biblical. He created us with a desire for joy and enjoyment. And I think of a verse out of 1 Timothy, which runs like this. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. That part is the contextual issue, but I'm not going there. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, I understand contextually there's some other things there, but there's still that basic kernel of truth. He provides us with things for our enjoyment. So again, I come back to the question. Is entertainment good or bad? Here's the critical point. Like all the paths that humanity travels, we always come to a fork in the road. We either take the path to the higher ground or we head for the bottom. That's just the way it is. Some of us look for things in entertainment that will be uplifting. But unfortunately, many things will also be degrading. And that's especially true in entertainment, isn't it? You take film, for example. Some films show the best in humankind, while others concentrate on portraying evil. Interestingly enough, the pornographic film industry never seems to run out of customers. There's always enough customers to keep that going. And we as Christians have to make choices. How do we choose what entertainments are suitable? And please, I'm talking about us as Christians making choices for ourselves. We cannot make choices for the world. That's impossible. And if we try to make choices for the world, we're just going to end up looking foolish. We can't do that. It's also not biblical, incidentally. But we can make choices for ourselves, and that's the critical thing. Go back to that verses. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those are the things we need to look at. We cannot pretend that we do not look for any entertainment. You know, some people will say, oh, I'm too focused on God to look for entertainment. I'm not going to waste my time on entertainment. You know, though sometimes churches have taken that approach, I'm sad to say. You know, churches that have got their congregations together and burned their television sets, right? Because they didn't want to, you know, which meant that they were also out of touch with everything else that was going on in the world in many cases, because many of them don't read newspapers either. Right? That's not helpful, folks. That's not helpful. Or they say, oh, we never, I remember a time when good Christians didn't go to movies, right? Could watch television, but didn't go to movies. And I always thought, what a contradiction in terms, right? That's just paradoxical is all that is. Okay? Is it true that we can be so focused on God that we never do entertainment? No, I dare say it's not true. You know, I think about staff meetings. I used to have to go to staff meetings when I was a teacher many years ago. And the staff meeting, you know, many of you know what staff meetings are like in any kind of business. They drone on, right? Sort of like preachers that are too old and should be put out to pasture. But, you know, they drone on. And I would sit there and I learned how to daydream through them, you know. What was I doing? I was entertaining myself. Except I was running the entertainment here, wasn't I? You know? That's still entertainment, folks. To say that we don't entertain is just foolishness. We do entertainment. Second, if it were true, it would mean that we have isolated ourselves from the world and that we can neither do nor should we do. Okay, so let's deal with how we navigate it, because this is the thing we have to get to. The first thing we need to know is that some forms of entertainment do shape people's thinking and attitudes. You know, and I've gotten into wars with people about this. They say, oh no, entertainment doesn't do that. We control what we watch. Yeah, you think so. Everything you watch, everything you listen to, everything you look at does have, at some point, an effect on your thinking and your attitudes. And for that reason, entertainment is a fertile ground for the enemy to sow evil in the world. You've heard the terms the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're always looking for ways to corrupt humanity. And with a world hungry for entertainment, the opportunity for Satan is massive. Just massive. And again, I come back to it. Our concern as Christians is to keep that from polluting our lives. Keep it from polluting our lives. Remember James's words. Keep oneself from being polluted. I want to look at what I call the eyes of entertainment. The eyes of entertainment. Because I found several of them. This isn't all of them, but this is a few of them, okay? Just for you. The eyes, in some ways, describe the dangers of entertainment and the problems that we have to face with it, okay? The first of these eyes is monopolize. One of the dangers of any type of entertainment is it can monopolize our time. It's a pretty obvious danger. We can become so enamored with an entertainment that that's all we think about, okay? You know, to some it seems to be a promise of a better life or somehow the better escape from difficulties or boredom. I come home from my job and I go to entertainment because it gets me away from that stuff, okay? That type of an attitude. Uncontrolled, however, it becomes an addiction. I can think of people who spend every spare moment, and you probably have seen some of these, thinking and talking about something like, for example, Star Wars, okay? There are websites and blogs that belong to the Star Wars experience. You can spend endless hours searching. And there are Star Wars convention where you can dress up and go as somebody, you know. And people just, they get lost in this kind of thing. There are video gamers, I even knew one, who spend every spare moment living in their parents' basement in a computer-generated world to the exclusion of real human contact, playing games. I'm not sure they shower or wash or whatever. Okay, not all of them are like that, but I actually knew one that was like that. In fact, many games are designed just to do that, to draw people further and further by providing what are called in-game rewards. So it's just that kind of thing? No. Even climbing mountains or wandering through nature can monopolize our time. Any entertainment can crowd out life, and that's what we have to remember. For a Christian, this is a real danger because obviously it crowds out time that should be spent with God as well, or with the family, or in the world, all those things. It can keep us from engagement with the world, where Christians need to be to fulfill their role. Okay, that's a fairly straightforward danger, isn't it? But the question that comes down to it is, so what are your entertainment choices? What are your choices here? And how do you run them? The second eyes is idolize. And I think, again, this is fairly obvious, and you'll know where I'm going with it. Entertainment often encourages people to make idols out of people, or even objects sometimes, at times. A short while ago, we saw how many people, for example, could do nothing but talk about Kawhi Leonard on television. I don't know if you know, it's a Toronto. Some of you may even be aware that Toronto won an NBA championship, may be aware. And Kawhi Leonard, and they're showing pictures in Toronto, and people hung signs, and oh, it was just, you know, Kawhi, right? Almost to the point of becoming an idol, isn't it? You know, the world would say, oh, no, but stop and think about some of these celebrities and what they're like. So some celebrity has a Twitter feed with hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, and they come out, you know, and when they say something, everybody, all the people that are on their feet say, oh, how wonderful that is. So they come up and say something like, well, what's one that we can think of recently? Vaccinations are terrible. We shouldn't be, you know, vaccinating our kids against measles and stuff, right? Yeah, she did. This is, I won't name her, but she did this. And all kinds of people took it up, and all of a sudden was, oh, vaccination, terrible. Terribly wrong. But and admitted later that she got it wrong and had to pull it back, right? But it's just the fact that people buy it because this person said it. We make sort of like almost gods, don't we, out of some of these people if we allow ourselves to, you know. And in many cases, the only thing we can say about them that's different between you and I is that they're massively overpaid for whatever it is they're doing compared to us. That's the biggest difference, right? But in fact, in many cases, they're no more intelligent. They don't have any more ideas than we do. In some cases, even fewer. I'm not going to go there, though. As Christians, we can appreciate the talents and abilities of people, but we cannot see them as anything more than people. And in many cases, sinful people, just like us. Right? Just like us. We must not be trapped into the cult of celebrity that seems to run through our world of entertainment. That's one of those entertainment choices we make. No, I'm not going to get trapped into that kind of stuff. Oh, man, time is running. As I said, those two first eyes are fairly obvious. The rest are far more sinister. A couple of years ago, I heard about a movie that was so popular, a funny movie. Being frugal, I waited for it to come on television, and I tried to watch it. It's had sequels and remakes have been recently. In it, a group of guys wearing strange clothes run around in an old ambulance and jump out with their vacuum cleaners to rid the world of the most horrible ghosts. I think many of you know what movie I'm talking about right now, don't you? Okay. I remember hearing that it was all just a funny story meant to amuse. Well, you know what? I don't really believe in ghosts. At least not the way they describe them, that's for sure. I don't really believe in ghosts, you know, in the way that most people portray them. However, I do believe in something else. And when I looked at the first of those, I thought to myself, oh, I believe in demons. I believe in demons. Most assuredly. And I think if you talk to anybody that's ever been involved in dealing with demons, they would tell you there's nothing funny about them. Not for a moment. Let's jump forward to today. And by the way, that's what I saw in that movie. It was not ghosts, but demons. Jump forward to today. I see trailers on television right now for a series about an... Ready for this? I don't know if you've seen them. An angel who joins forces with a demon to save the world from destruction. Can you imagine that? And people say, well, it's just a humorous story. Really? Any Christian should know that no angel would ever join forces with a... demon. This is just an impossibility. Furthermore, if the world is going to end, which they're supposed to be saving it, it will be because God planned it, and no angel or demon could stop it, even if they wanted to. The whole premise is so bad. Here's the point of it. What that does is it trivializes the whole business of the supernatural world. It makes it into a joke, and people don't take it seriously. Our world out there sort of laughs at this whole business of demons and you know, to the point where there's a car company that has named its cars the Demon and the Hellcat and the Warlock. 40, 50 years ago, they wouldn't have even done that. They wouldn't have considered that. But that's what's happened. They've trivialized it. If people don't take these seriously, then what do they have to fear from the supernatural? I've thought to myself, in fact, I suspect that Satan would prefer that people only saw him as an imaginary being. Think about that. Wouldn't that be his preference? Oh, I'm only imaginary. Don't worry about me. And that's what really scares me sometimes about entertainment, is it trivializes important subjects. Do you make choices? Now I hear people saying, you know, we're not affected by this stuff. It's only humor. We just laugh it off. You know? Sorry, I'm going to have to cut through some things here to save some time. Last week, Larry referenced the Nazi government in Germany. The Nazi government in Germany managed to convince people to be the way they were based on what we call propaganda, right? They convinced people of stuff, propaganda, mass amounts of it. The guy who was responsible for that was a guy by the name of Joseph Goebbels. And he wrote several articles about how to do propaganda, and he was the best. He knew exactly how to do it. One of the things that he says is the best way to do propaganda is stick to a few points and repeat them over and over and over. And people who didn't believe them will eventually begin to believe them. What are we seeing in some of our entertainment? The other thing he said is that propaganda works best when those who are being manipulated are confident that they're acting out of their own free will. If they know they're being manipulated, you know, but they don't. They think, oh, I make the choices. There's no problem here, right? No, there's some real problems. Some real problems. The next eyes, to move along quickly, is desensitize. What are we referring to here? People listen to things. They hear things. And as they do so, those things, as they hear them over time, they become less and less important to them. They begin to treat them as though they're just sort of accepted. That's just the way things are. Okay. The subconscious mind hears everything. Make no mistake. There's nothing that we listen to or look at that the subconscious mind does not hear, and in some way or another, plug back in to our thinking. There's evidence for that. I regularly like listening to one movie reviewer, not because I want to know about specifically about the movies, but I just want to keep track of what the world is watching. You know? And last week she gave a glowing review to a movie she'd just seen. But she added one comment that I felt was really telling. She said, there was so much violence in the movie that it was actually humorous. You want to think about that one? There was so much violence that it was actually humorous? When did violence become humorous? But those were her exact words, and I was just sort of stunned for a second, you know, to think that that would be something somebody would say. And then we wonder why people see nothing wrong with violence. Well, that's why, because they've been desensitized to it. And this is particularly true of sexual behavior as well. You know, the kinds of adultery and all the things that go on in shows now. The other thing that goes with this, oh, man. Sorry, I've got so much to say. I've tried to shorten it, but this is the other thing that goes with it, is that there's a thing called pushing the envelope. You know, like the artists often say, we push the envelope. This is what's accepted, but we're going to push people past that so they can see more, right? Pushing the envelope usually means pushing it further down. And what happens is you push the envelope to this point, this, and you get people to accept this and, you know, sort of say, okay, I'm desensitized to that kind of sin. And then you push a little further down. The next reaction is, well, that's not good. And then you watch it for a while and they keep making movies about it and eventually, oh, yeah, I guess maybe that's okay. You know? you follow what I'm getting at? You become desensitized. And that's what we see happening with a lot of entertainment. So how do we deal with it? Because that's what it comes back to. What are your choices when you see these things? I've many times recently, I've been watching television with a woman I love, and as opposed to anybody else. I mean, with a woman I love. And I'll look at something, we'll be watching something for a few minutes, and I'll say, you know what, I don't think I want to watch this anymore. And it's based on, you know, the kinds of things that I'm watching in it. And then she'll usually lean over to me and say something like, that sort of sounds like, what took you so long? Anyway, the last eyes I'm going to look at is normal eyes. Modern entertainment often suggests the things we recognize as sin can't become sin, can't be classed as sin, because they're normal. They're normal. This is usual, typical, or even an expected way of living. If everybody does it, it can't be wrong, right? If everyone commits adultery or steals or lies, then it is normal. And therefore, no one should be upset, you know? Nothing wrong here, nothing to see. In fact, we should encourage them and tell them that what they are doing is so far from normal that it's unbelievable. Although we know God's righteous decrees, we don't always live to them. Sin is not normal. Yes, we all sin, but humanity was not created for sin. We were created to be holy. Sin is the aberration. So don't tell me sin is the norm. It's not. And we make choices that pull us away from that. We have to be careful. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Come on up, worship team. Okay. So what do we do? How do we make choices? The first thing is to remember that sin itself is a choice. We need to choose better, find a different source of entertainment. We need to look for accountability in our lives and encouragement. And we need to take our choices of entertainment to prayer and spend time. The world may not know it, but we have to know and make choices. We're running a little late, but this last song, I think, in many ways culminates and fits the message. And so I'm going to get in trouble by allowing the service to run a little long. Why don't you stand and join the worship team as they sing? Give us clean hands.
Souls to another. Oh God, let us To you. We pray that you clean us from our sins. You make us pure in your ways. That we truly follow you. That we don't get distracted by the nasty things in this world. The darkness, the anger, the guilt, the shame that all these bad behaviors and sin can give us. God, we focus on you. Amen.
Receive God's benediction upon your hearts today. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. We've heard an encouraging word to us today, but a word that you might be wondering, oh, so what do I do? What do I do now with my entertainment choices, right? God gives us something to do. It's called repentance, turning from one way of life to another way of life. As Pastor Jim told us, we have a choice, right? How we live our lives. And one of the things is saying, yes, I'm guilty. And I can tell you today that the pastor standing before you is guilty. And probably we all are, of looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. And we need to say no. And I've been there with my wife, too, and I've said that word, too. Oh, I don't think we should be watching this. And my wife had said, what took you so long? We need to shut off the TV. We need to say no to that movie or whatever we're looking at on the internet and turn away from that and be pure and holy before God. And that's a thing that happens in the privacy of our own living rooms, as well as in the movie theaters, as well as what we do with our time. So let's commit ourselves to that. Today, of course, we have to move out quickly for our next congregation, but spend some time today considering your entertainment choices. And where needed, repent of those things. Change your mind, change your heart, and do something different. And say no to those entertainment choices that are not right and pure and lovely and of good report. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, you have a few announcements in your bulletins. I hope you would read those. I want to encourage you again to talk to Pastor May, to James, about our needs and way of our children's ministry coming up in September. But even for our VBS that's going to be happening in the evenings, third weekend of August here, a week in August. So please take a look at those things and see how you can bless your church and be a part of ministry here at Westwood. We so appreciate you and so thank you for being a part of us. Please be seated, and after silent prayer, be dismissed this morning.